Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers, text number 13. Sarve ami vidikaras tava sattva dhamno. Pramadayo vayam iveshana chodi jantaha. Shemaya bhutaya utatma sukhaya chasya. Vikriditam bhagavato richira vitarai. Sarve, all, he, certainly, ami, these, vidikara, executors of orders, tava, your, satpadamna, being always situated in the transcendental world, brahma adaya, the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, vayam, we, eva, like, isha, O my Lord, na, not, cha, and, udvijantaha, who are afraid of your fearful appearance, Shemaya, for the protection. Bhutaye, for the increase. Uta, it is said. Atmasukhaya, for personal satisfaction by such pastimes. Cha, also. Asya, of this material world, vikriditam, manifested, bhagavataha, of your lordship, ruchira, very pleasing, avatarai, by your incarnations. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord, all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma are sincere servants of your lordship who are situated in a transcendental position. Therefore, they are not like us, Prahlad and his father, the demon Hiranyakashipu. Your appearance in this fearsome form is your pastime for your own pleasure. Such an incarnation is always meant for the protection and improvement of the universe. Purport. Prahlad Maharaj wanted to assert that his father and the other members of his family were all unfortunate because they were demoniac, whereas the devotees of the Lord are always fortunate because they are always ready to follow the orders of the Lord. When the Supreme Lord appears in this material world in his various incarnations, he performs two functions, saving the devotee and vanquishing the demon. Paritranaya sarunam vinashaya cha diskritam. Lord Nrisimhadev, for example, appeared for the protection of his devotee. Such pastimes as those of Nrisimhadev are certainly not meant to create a fearful situation for the devotees. But nonetheless, the devotees, being very simple and faithful, were afraid of the fierce incarnation of the Lord. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj, in the following prayer, requests the Lord to give up his anger. O my Lord, all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma are sincere servants of your lordship, who are situated in a transcendental position. Therefore, they are not like us, Prahlad and his father, the demon Hiranyakashipu. Your appearance in this fearsome form is your pastime for your own pleasure. Such an incarnation is always meant for the protection and improvement of the universe. Next verse. My Lord Nrisimhadev, please therefore cease your anger now that my father, the great demon Hiranyakashipu, has been killed. Since even saintly persons take pleasure in the killing of a scorpion or a snake, all the worlds have achieved great satisfaction because of the death of this demon. Now they are confident of their happiness, and they will always remember your auspicious incarnation in order to be free from fear. Purport. The most important point in this verse is that although saintly persons never desire the killing of any living entity, they take pleasure in the killing of envious living entities like snakes and scorpions. Hiranyakashipu was killed because he was worse than a snake or a scorpion, and therefore everyone was happy. Now there is no need for the Lord to be angry. The devotee can always remember the form of Nrisimhadev, and when they are in danger, and therefore the appearance of Nrisimhadev is not at all auspicious. The Lord's appearance is always worshipable and auspicious for all sane persons and devotees. First, we need knowledge, as we've heard before. We need to understand what is the background, what is actually going on here in the material world. That's called knowledge. Then we have to see things in the proper perspective. Without knowledge, we have nothing to work on to see through the eyes of Krishna, or through the eyes of Scripture. Kshetram kshetragya jnanam antara jnana chakshusha bhuta prakriti moksham cha ye vidu yanti te param. Those who can see with the eyes of knowledge the difference between the body and the knower of the body, who can understand the process of liberation, attains to the supreme destination. So, jnana chakshush, we have to see with the eyes of knowledge. But first we need knowledge. And therefore, anartho pasamam sakshat bhakti yoga rathokshade lokasya janato vidvam sattva chakritas chakre sattvitam samita sattvitam. That anartho pasamam sakshat, due to our anarthas, we don't see things properly. Due to our bad habits, anartho pasamam sakshat bhakti yoga rathokshade. But by the linking process of bhakti yoga, we can understand things properly. Lokasya janato vidvam, the learned Vyasadeva, seeing that the people in general are all covered with ignorance, they've lost their vision. Chakre sattvita samhitam, that one can study this sattva, this purana which is transcendental, and actually get the proper understanding. So apparently, Nrisimhadev was quite cruel that he killed someone's father right in the presence of the son. And the son was so brainwashed that he was even offering a garland to the killer. Now, if you had your father and someone comes and tries to kill him, would you offer a garland to the killer? You'd have to have a pretty bad relationship with your father. But here, Prahlad, 5 years old, his father is being killed right in front of him, and he's offering a garland. And the killer is so fierce that even great demigods like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, they're all afraid. So what to speak of a little boy like Prahlad Maharaj? Prahlad has explained, to put things in the right perspective, that actually the Supreme Lord is never actually fearful for sane people and for devotees. Similarly, extending that, since Krishna is the controller of everything, for a devotee who's advanced in Krishna consciousness, nothing is fearful. Everything that Krishna does is good. And if one understands and accepts that, then the result is that one becomes fearless. One is never fearful, even in the most dangerous situation, because one knows whatever is happening is for my good and for the good of all living entities. That famous story of the hunter, or the king, who had a minister who always said, everything Krishna does is good. So the king was getting a little tired of hearing every time he mentioned Krishna, The minister would say, everything Krishna does is good. One day the king was hunting in the forest and with a minister, and he put an arrow on his quiver and shot it, but there was some mistake, and so the arrow fell and cut his finger off. So the king said, well, what do you think of this, my dear minister? And the minister said, everything Krishna does is good. So the king became annoyed with the minister and said, if I put you in jail, will that also be good? So the minister said, yes, everything Krishna does is good. So the king put the minister in jail. Later, it was discovered that some dacoits, some rogues and thieves, were stealing the king's cows. Also, the king led an army to protect his cows. Unfortunately, the king got lost in the chase, and he was captured by the dacoits, by the rogues and thieves, taken to their hideout in order to become a sacrifice to the goddess Durga. He was bathed and clothed appropriately. He was offered a sumptuous meal. And then he was going to be sacrificed before the goddess Kali. And the executioner took his sword. The king was kneeling before the goddess, and his head was just going to be cut off when the head priest said, wait, wait, this man cannot be sacrificed to the goddess Kali because he is missing one finger, and therefore he's perfect. He's not worthy of being sacrificed. So the thieves said to the king, sorry, we can't sacrifice you. I know you'll be disappointed, but we're going to have to let you go because you're not worthy of being sacrificed. The king said, okay, I feel bad about it, but maybe next life I'll get the opportunity. So they threw him out. Get out of here, you rascal. They threw the king out, and he wandered back to his kingdom. He came to visit the minister in jail to let him out, and said, you're right, everything Krishna does is good. But I'm just wondering that it's true, Krishna, by his mercy, he cut off my finger so I wasn't sacrificed by the rogues and thieves. But why did he have me throw you in jail? So the minister said, if I wasn't in jail, I would have accompanied you on the chase, and probably I would have been with you when the dacoits captured you. Now, they would have thrown you out as being unworthy of sacrifice, but I have 10 fingers. They would have sacrificed me. So actually, everything Krishna does is good. Sometimes we can recognize how Krishna is controlling everything. And sometimes we're not conscious of the fact that Krishna is the complete controller at every moment. It's not that now it's Chaturmasya and Krishna is asleep and therefore so many weird things are happening in the world because Krishna is just not in control. Someone should wake him up so things can come back to normal again. Now, at every moment and every instance, everything that's happening is due to Krishna's arrangement. When we're put into difficulty, it's an opportunity to take more shelter of Krishna. And when we're given a pleasant situation, it's an opportunity to utilize that advantage to further the Krishna consciousness movement. In any case, dukeshu vamanagmanaksukeshu vigatasriha vita raga bayakroda stita dirmuni uchite. One who is not disturbed in spite of the threefold miseries, who is not elated when there is happiness, and is freed from attachment and anger, fear and anger, is known as a sage of steady intelligence or a steady mind. When a devotee is put into difficulty, he realizes that Krishna is minimizing the difficulty, but it's an opportunity to take shelter of Krishna in spite of the difficulty. He actually deserves the electric chair, but he's only being given a pinprick of suffering. And when he's in a good position with all kinds of nice opportunities for service to Krishna, then still he utilizes that opportunity not for his sense gratification, but service to Krishna. In any case, whether it's difficulty or seemingly comfort or opportunities, the devotee is always determined in his efforts to serve Krishna equally. And before that, Arjuna was asking Krishna, How do you know if a person's self-realized? Does he have a big beard? Long hair? Does he twirl a flower in his hand when he speaks? Arjuna is asking, Sthita pragyasya kabhasha samadhi stasya keshava sthitadi kim apavcheta kim asheta vrijeta kim. Try that again. Arjuna vacha sthita pragyasya kabhasha samadhi stasya keshava sthitadi kim abhasheta Stitidya Muni Uchita. No, that's not right at all. Arjuna, I got it wrong even worse that time. Arjuna Vacha, Stita Pragasya Kabasha, Samadhi Stasi Keshava, Stitidi Kim Abhasheta. Yeah, that's right. Abhasheta, Stim Kim Asita Brijeta Kim. Abhasheta means has to do with language. Where are we here? Prabhaseta speaks, yeah. Siddhi kim prabhaseta kim asita brijeta kim. What is the symptom of his person who self-realized? How does he speak? How does he walk? How does he talk? And what is his language? So Krishna doesn't say, well, he's 6 feet, 5 feet, you know, he's 2.5 meters high and he speaks Sanskrit and he walks in the air sometimes. No, Krishna's answer was Sri Bhagavana Vacha Prajahati Yada Kaman Sarvam Partha Manogatan Admani Vatmana Stita Pragyasya Tochite. One who's not, Prajahati yada kaman, one who gives up all desires born of mental speculation and whose mind finds satisfaction in the self alone, he is said to be situated in perfect knowledge. In other words, there's so much nonsense that goes through our mind, and when we get attached to it, then we're in Maya. And if we just let it all go, then we take shelter of Krishna, then we become perfect in Krishna consciousness. Doesn't take an atomic scientist to become Krishna conscious. It takes a little bit of sincerity and understanding. Just to recognize what all the foolish things that go through our mind and not get disturbed by them. And foolish means it has nothing to do with our eternal relationship to Krishna, nothing to do with practically realizing our eternal identity. It's just something that's going to come and go, no matter what we do about it. So that's called prajahati yada kaman. Kaman. That we worry about things that really aren't worthy of being worried about, because they won't make any difference in our actual eternal identity or a relationship with Krishna. Therefore, one whose practice is to just forget about all the nonsense and to take shelter of Krishna, then he becomes firmly fixed in perfect knowledge. And such a person, even if he's put into difficulty, he knows it's Krishna's mercy. And if he's put into a comfortable situation, he also knows that's Krishna's mercy. In any case, he tries to utilize his situation the best he can to serve Krishna. Is he indifferent for things that are going on in the material world? Yes. Yak sarvatman visehas tat tat prapyu shubha shubham. One who is not disturbed by the good that is obtained, or elated, one who is not elated when the good or disturbed by the evil, he is said to be firmly fixed in perfect knowledge. In other words, in the material world, there's so many good things that go on, supposedly, and there's so many evil things that go on also. But one who is not disturbed by these things, he's said to be firmly fixed in perfect knowledge. So what does he do when things are going not the way they should be going? How does he act? Yada samaharite chayam kormanganiva sarvashaha indriyarandiyarate bhyas tasya pragya pratishtita. One who withdraws his senses within himself, just like the sense of the tortoise draws his senses within the shell, is said to be firmly fixed in perfect knowledge. So when the senses don't require engagement, he doesn't utilize them. And when they require engagement, then he utilizes them for Krishna's service. So when the mind comes through a thought, you know, just eat one more piece, then the self-realized soul says, why? And he withdraws his senses. He does, I got to eat it. My senses demanding. I got to serve them. Oh, he just says, sorry, it's not a good idea. And he withdraws his senses from the objects. So what, how does he do it? Visharam vinivartante nirharasya dehinam rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishva nivartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains, but ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he becomes fixed in consciousness. In other words, if we give up this desire to do unnecessary things due to a higher taste, then we'll be fixed in consciousness. So our main business is to cultivate Krishna consciousness. But then when we see that I'm being distracted by unnecessary things, then we should try to give them up also. As we're trying to cultivate Krishna consciousness, we should try to find out what Krishna wants us to do. In other words, while we're doing our duty, we should have a full sense of Krishna consciousness. So generally speaking, we start with our duty to find out what's to be done and what's not to be done, and we do what's supposed to be done. And then at the same time, we try to cultivate a full sense of Krishna consciousness while we're doing the right thing that Krishna wants us to do. Then, as Krishna becomes merciful and we fix our consciousness upon him, then we get a higher taste and unnecessary things that were attracting us become seen as completely unnecessary, and then we're no longer attracted to them. Yantato yapi kontiya purushasya vipaschita indriyani haratini haranti prabhasam manak. The senses are so strong, Arjuna, that they bewilder the mind even of a man of intelligence who's endeavoring to control them. I think that's the right translation, is it? So, we may think ourselves to be very bright, very intelligent, very learned, very experienced, but if we're attracted by the objects of the senses, then we're become fool number one. Doesn't matter how learned we're told. Like Sanatana Goswami was being praised all the time. You're learned in Parsi, you're learned in Sanskrit, and so many different you're a great Brahmin. And he said, but I don't even know who I am, so actually I'm fool number one. Kami, why am I suffering the trapa tapa, the tree tapa, the threefold miseries? Why am I suffering like this? If I knew what these things are, then I'd actually be learned. But actually, people are telling me I'm learned, but I'm fool number one because I don't know these things. So if we can engage our service senses in Krishna's service, then we come to the highest platform of intelligence. And sometimes we become distracted, but that should serve as an impetus to pick ourselves up and not get fooled by Maya again and again and again. We should learn our lessons. Tani sarvani samyamya yukta sitamatra vishehi asyendriyani tasya pragya pratishita. One who controls his senses and fixes his mind upon me is to be known as a man of steady intelligence. So that's our whole philosophy. We don't have to learn any other verse, just simply that. Utilize our senses in Krishna's service and fix our mind upon Krishna, and everything will be perfect. There's nothing to worry about. Whatever the circumstances are, like Ambarish Maharaj, he did the best he could in his service. He was going to feed the Durvasa Muni and his 50,000 followers. They went to bathe. He had to break Ekadasi. He took a little sip of water. No fault on his own. The Brahmins told him he should do that. The Rasa Muni, being envious, came back, wanted to kill him, threw a fiery demon at him to kill him, burn him to ashes. And he didn't complain. Wait a second, I'm innocent. You know, you're killing an innocent man. No, he simply fixed his mind upon Krishna. And although he was in such a precarious condition, he was about to die, leave his body, because he had fixed his mind upon Krishna, tears came from his eyes, but not tears of fear, but tears of ecstasy, because it was an intense experience of ecstasy thinking about Krishna. And then Krishna protected him, because he had no other protection. On the other hand, when Draupadi was being disrobed in front of the Kauravas, and she thought she could handle it herself, I mean, I'm sure she was pretty strong, but she wasn't as strong as Dushasan. And although she was trying to protect her sari, it wasn't going to work. But then when she threw her hands up and relied completely upon Krishna, Krishna became an unlimited length of sari, and Dushasan kept on pulling her sari off, but it was unlimited, and therefore he became tired and gave up in embarrassment. So the point is that we should not be fearful, we should take shelter of Krishna, and if there is a situation that's fearful, we should welcome it as a better opportunity to take shelter of Krishna. Otherwise, we're quite complacent. We're about to go through old age, disease, and death. We're thinking, it's not so bad. It's far, far away. I have so much time to worry about in the future. Why should I concern myself? As like the Prabhupada gives the example of the gober patties. They're stuck on the wall. Gober means the cow dung patties. And they're drying out. Because they in India, they have the huts, and they take the gober patty, the cow dung patties, and they stick them on the wall of their houses. That way they dry in the sun. So one gober patty is being thrown into the fire for cooking. And then all the other gober patties who are wet on the wall are laughing at him. Oh, just see, the rascal is being burnt. They don't realize soon they're going to be dried out. And they're going to be thrown into the fire also. When Prabhupada was at the last stage of his manifest appearance, and he hadn't eaten for months and months at a time, he mentioned it to his followers, he said to his servants, he said, that you may think, well, I'm young, I don't have to worry about these things. The Prabhupada said, no, this is all going to happen to all of you. Don't think it's not going to happen to you. It's going to happen to every one of us. And human life is meant for preparing for that. And part of that is we should have a little bit of fear what's going to happen to us. And take shelter of Krishna, even when things are not as fearful as death. But we should have that in mind, that's what we have to prepare for. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This verse that we read about the scorpion, I think I remember from the Lilamrita that Prabhupada was at one point had some doubt, and he was inspired by this verse, I think, regarding... Well,
in the Math, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada was told that there was some snakes. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada said, kill the snake. So Prabhupada was surprised that a great saintly person like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada is ordering some living entity to be killed. And then he read this verse and he realized that actually this even saintly persons, scorpions and snakes, they advise that they be killed because they're envious creatures. They can attack without any provocation or reason.
So one question from Marcel. Why is desire to become something special so strong, and how to get rid of it?
Well, devotional service is the method. Either we utilize this body to serve Krishna, or we utilize our body to serve our false ego. So if we decide to become Krishna's servant, then our false ego will gradually diminish. Our real ego, when our real ego manifests itself, as Krishna's eternal, the servant of Krishna's servants, then a false ego naturally disappears. So why do we want it? Because Prabhupada gives the example. Just like a billionaire, he can eat anything, but sometimes he wants to find out what some fried peanuts taste like. So he gets some fried peanuts and eats them. So we were wondering what it would be like to be God. So we're pretending we're God, trying to figure out what it's like to become God. And we realize it's not such a good idea to become God. Then we give it up gradually, and we become who we actually are, the servant of God. All right, thank you very much. Krandarai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.